Today is the last day of this June 2011 seven-day session. And we will continue looking at the teachings of the Chinese Chan master Sheng Yan. This is from a different work called Shattering the Great Doubt, the Chan practice of Hua Tou. You heard that Hua Tou is like the koan, is the nub of the koan. Hua Tou, Sheng Yan writes, is that which occurs just before a thought arises in your mind. To practice Hua Tou, the practitioner recites the sentence or fragment in a questioning manner, but without theorizing or analyzing in order to find an answer. If you try to reason out the meaning of a Hua Tou, this would be like looking at the tail end of the thought, not the head. Hua Tou literally means word, head. Tou is head and Hua is speech or word. So it's that, the head, that which is before, so the front of speech, not the end, not the tail. But what is that which lies before thoughts arise? What does the Hua Tou point to? Our original liberated mind. This is also called the Buddha mind. To conceptually understand this is not enough. You have to personally experience this. In practice, you must abandon concepts, knowledge, and previous experience until the Hua Tou becomes the only thing in your mind, and you must eventually smash through the Hua Tou itself. Ask the Hua Tou or Mu to the exclusion of all other thoughts until the question is resolved. The crucial point is that the question cannot be resolved by logical or conceptual thinking. After you have been assigned a Hua Tou, you should just stick with it. In fact, you can practice the same Hua Tou all your life, even after you have experienced an initial awakening. You can use the Hua Tou to experience awakening again and again until you are thoroughly enlightened. I highly recommend that you use the Hua Tou, what is Mu, as this is a very powerful one that has been used since the early days of this practice. So people might ask, is this all there is? Before awakening, Mu. After awakening, Mu. Isn't there anything else? Of course, there are other practices, subsequent practices, but fundamentally, nothing is outside this Mu. So if you really settle into this one question, it can take you all the way. But isn't there anything else? The world is so so rich, so wide, so colorful. Just one thing. We can say it's at the base of phenomena. It's that where phenomena arise from. The unlimited number of birds, leaves, trees, grasses. What is the root? Where is the source of all this? We can discover it in our koan. Directly enter the practice by energetically asking your question over and over. In your mind, you would ask, what is mu? What is mu? What is this mu? You must direct the asking to the huatou, not to yourself. Let your mind settle into the method. Become friends with it. When there's nothing in your mind but finding the answer, this is called investigating huatou. When you engage the huatou, avoid analyzing it. The proper approach is to just ask the question and let the huatou itself give the answer. With this attitude, you just keep asking the huatou. Do not turn around and start asking yourself, expecting the answer to come from you. That will start you thinking, and you may end up with a stuffy head. If you direct the question to yourself, you may get answers from your subconscious, but they will invariably be wrong because they will be conceptual. If this happens, just let these false answers go. Say to yourself, this is not the answer I'm looking for. And continue to ask the huatou. Neither is a huatou a mantra to be recited over and over without a questioning mind. As for the questioning, do not add second thoughts. Clever people may wonder how you can get a chan experience from asking a question that has no meaning. How can asking what is mu make me enlightened? If you think like this, it is because you lack faith and confidence, and in that case, the huatou will not work for you. Rather, just look at the huatou as a tool for practicing chan. Just directly go about it this way. Keep asking the huatou and let it give you the answer. The point of this method is not only to allow your mind to focus on the huatou, but also to give rise to a sense of wanting to find an answer. These factors, focusing the mind and wanting an answer, force your self-centeredness into a corner, so to speak. by your persistent questioning, the self eventually has nowhere to go and vanishes. When the self vanishes, the answer you were looking for will manifest by itself, and you will come to know personally the state of liberation. Doesn't always have to be a breakthrough. It can be a breakthrough, sure. But it's not necessarily, though, so. It can happen that suddenly everything becomes bright, light. You're not standing in the way between you and the world. You're not putting up a wall, even though it's a glass wall. The answer can unfold. It can open up. Open like a flower. Gently changing your perspective. But the important thing is not to think about how it should be. Not to think about the wrong way or the correct way, this way or that way. Just focus on your practice and forget everything else. By focusing on the practice, you forget your self-concerns. Instead of placing yourself in the middle, you put the practice there. There's a chant saying that we should use the diamond sword of wisdom to cut through delusion. In fact, anything that manifests in your mind naturally disappears when you have this sword in your hand. So think of the Huato as your diamond sword. Again and again, you must ask the Huato. You must generate the desire for the Huato to give you an answer. Just keep asking the Huato and pick it up when wandering thoughts arise. At that point, what we call the doubt sensation will arise, and eventually it will evolve into a great mass of doubt. When the great doubt is shattered, you will have answered your Huato. What is mu is the Huato I usually recommend. Mu is the state where the sense of self is totally absent. It is the state of no self. No self means there is no abiding, unchanging entity that you can identify as I. This no self is the natural state of awakening. Now, understanding no self in this way is insufficient because awakening must be personally experienced. To experience no self personally, you ask, what is mu? Putting your whole life behind the question. It does not mean becoming tense, anxious, or nervous. It just means asking the Huatou with utmost sincerity and single-mindedness. So with this attitude, you ask, what is mu? At the same time, don't fall into the trap of becoming tense. If you become physically tense, your whole body will stiffen, your breathing will be constricted, and you will feel pressure in your chest. If you become mentally tense, you will become exhausted, fall into drowsiness, or stir up wandering thoughts. So, without tension in body or mind, put your whole focus into asking the Huatou. That is how to investigate your Huatou. Practicing Huatou is simple. All you do is ask the question that is your Huatou. Do not involve yourself with anything else. However, investigating the Huatou does not mean trying to find the answer by thinking about it. In fact, any answer you come up with will be wrong. The answer must come from the Huatou itself. How simple it is to do nothing except ask, what is mu? And you don't even have to come up with the answer yourself. The Huatou will do that. So, you persist in this urgent asking as your single task. What is mu? Let yourself wake from drowsiness. Let wandering thoughts stop. Let your body relax. This is indeed a very easy, effortless method. But if you overexert, you will exhaust yourself. And if you try to think about an answer, it will be just delusion. One single thing. Everything else has been taken care of. One single thing. Just mu. That's all. Nothing else. The mats, the cushions support our body, the spoons feed us, the floor supports us, nothing we have to worry about, no need to be concerned about anything but the practice. We don't need a watch. We don't have to think about what we will do later. a Dharma sister once said, in fact, it took me half an hour of focused sitting. Half an hour, one round. Complete absorption in the practice. Half hour. And then, if it doesn't work, try again. New beginning, new start. Have a shot at it. Mu is aiming at Mu. And then I heard, suddenly I realized I was nothing. And because I was nothing, I was everything. And this is the natural state of things. This is not some mental disease, psychosis. This is the way things are. Non-separation. Oneness. Wondrous oneness. We could say, at this stage of Sesshin, we could say, I'm working hard, maybe not the best Zen practitioner, but I'm trying to do my best. I'm giving what I can. I'm pouring myself into this practice as completely as I can. What else should I do now? Even better, what else can I do? I have nothing else to do. Makes no sense now to change the tradition, to do whatever, get into distractions. Only this Mu. As I remember years ago, it was a turn for me when I suddenly decided that I would not set myself limits. No time limits. No time limits. I said to myself, no matter how long it will take, I'll do it. No matter what it takes, I'll do it. And suddenly, there was an immense relief to say, no matter how long it takes, can lead you to, well, why wait? Why not do it now? And now. And now. Thank you. he differentiates between an intense and a relaxed approach. He says, the main difference between the intense and relaxed approaches is really one of attitude. The intense approach can be likened to the urgency of holding on to a log in the middle of the ocean. If you let go, you will drown. You should ask the Huato with that kind of urgency, knowing that only the Huato holds the answer. So you must ask the Huato very intensely and very intently, single-mindedly, you want to find out what Mu is or whatever your Huato is. Continue to ask without giving up and with the utmost urgency. Imagine that if you give up for just 1 minute, you will die. With such intensity, wandering thoughts cannot arise because the practice is seamless, without gaps. With this intense approach, you can benefit more and see results more quickly. In the relaxed approach, you also want to know the answer to the Huato, but you are not pushing too hard, looking for extraordinary experiences or trying to get rid of anything. Single-mindedly, you just maintain the desire to find the answer. While this approach is more relaxed, it still needs to be seamless. By seamless, we mean being mindful that which each asking of the Huato, wandering thoughts do not seep in. Relaxed yet mindful, you ask the Huato, develop interest in it, and you appreciate the asking of the Huato. All this is done as if you were walking down a road holding a bowl filled to the brim with precious oil. Your job is not to spill a single drop of oil. So you must walk with utmost mindfulness. This mindfulness is being careful, not tense. Even though the relaxed approach can lead to enlightenment, there is never a guarantee, and there are reasons for this. Some people practice very lazily, thinking they are seriously practicing. I return to the analogy of the bowl filled to the brim with oil. It is of no use if you are not walking, because you are not making progress. The point is to continue to walk without spilling. Regardless of how slow you are walking, you still walk with full mindfulness, giving yourself enough time to reach the goal without hurrying. You have to put down the bowl every time you get a little tired or bored. That is being lazy, and you will have difficulty making progress. Therefore, the point of this relaxed approach is to practice continually, but with an attitude of non-seeking. We are alone on the mat with our practice. But in fact, we are not alone. There's support from all around us. There's hundreds of years of tradition supporting us. There's the instruments that bring us back to the present moment, the bell, the clappers, the drum. Making us aware, also making us aware of the passing of time. There's support from all around us. We have the altar, and on the altar we have embodied the six paramitas. We have the stick there, the what is called in Chan the incense board. It's dana, compassionate giving, inspiring us, tapping on our energies, opening these reservoirs of boundless energy. We have the flowers. They stand for virya, or the strength, overcoming obstacles with their growth. There's the incense, stands for Shila. Precepts, upright living, permeating our life, not physical but very subtle. And the fruit, the standing for kshanti, the patience, that ripening. Also, all of these show the impermanence, the fragility of life, the coming into being, the being, and the passing. Just like the candles, as the life of the candle is the death of the candle, but it's bringing us light. Standing for dhyana or samadhi. And above, the Buddha, embodiment of our true nature, our true mind. Standing for prajna, our transcendental wisdom. All this is permeating our practice, sustaining us, helping in a seen and unseen way. Make good use of it for these next hours. So our time is up, and we stop here and recite the four vows.